You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to another live broadcast of tonight's Political Cesspool radio program. It is Saturday evening, May the 9th. Thank you for being with us. I'm James Edwards, he's Keith Alexander, and we have what I feel is going to be a very, very good show tonight. We're going to give you a little bit of everything this evening. Before the next 3 hours conclude, you're going to hear from Jared Taylor, Brother Nathaniel, and Kevin McDonald. How about that? Now, I said you're going to be hearing from them, each of the three. I didn't say they're all going to be appearing live. See, the good thing about Jared is now that he does these videos. And it just saves me the rigors of having to pick up the phone and call him. So we're going to listen to Jared tonight. He put together what I think is the definitive capstone on our coverage last week of the situation in Baltimore. Now, that's just going to bring our coverage of Baltimore to a conclusion for now. This is just phase one, the riots, the mob rule. We're going to be moving into phase two, which is the indictments, and phase three, which is the trial, and then phase four, which is going to be the aftermath, depending upon what verdict is rendered in the case of these six officers. But that's coming up. Brother Nathaniel has this video. I saw it today, and I just had to put it in, work it in the show tonight. He addresses the problems with the American economy, elections, media, and culture. And he solves each of those problems in less than 3 minutes, or rather, he solves all of those problems. Those are some pretty big problems, the problems we have with our economy, elections, media, and culture.
Same solution for everyone?
He has a solution for all of them, and he writes the prescription in less than 3 minutes. So you're going to hear that. And then the one and only Kevin McDonald will be appearing live tonight, and Kevin's going to be talking about what's wrong with white people. Kevin just returned from giving a lecture on the mechanisms of white dispossession in Stockholm, Sweden. So he's fresh back from Mother Europe, and he's going to tell us about that trip to Sweden and the speech that he gave there, during which he asked the rhetorical question, what's wrong with white people? He's going to answer it tonight, and he'll be taking questions from you, our listeners, assembled in our online chat room. So I just got there myself. If you have not yet joined us, please do. CFCC.org. The online chat is hosted by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, of course. Or you can just go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and link over to the chat right now. Kevin will be taking your questions. Dr. McDonald himself in the third hour. So stay tuned. In the middle of all that, Winston Smith. You're going to hear from Winston tonight. The fourth of the four co-hosts of this program, myself, Keith, Eddie, and Winston. Well, he's going to be on to talk about proper gender roles with none other than Courtney from Alabama, one of our own, I guess you would say she's a spinoff star of the show. And so all of that is coming up this evening. Got a quick note in the mail, as you see it here, Keith, on this, what would you call this? This is legal paper, but it's small.
Notepad.
It's a notepad. There you go. Yellow legal notepad from a listener in Seattle, Washington. He writes, dear friends at the Political Cesspool, greetings. Enclosed is a small donation towards your excellent radio program. Keep up the great work. And that comes from Brett in Seattle, Washington. And I want to thank everyone who wrote into the Political Cesspool this week, whether it's by hand, by email, what have you. Brett in Seattle. And it's people like Brett, Keith, that keep the political cesspool in the conversation. You know, we talked last week about how we are outpacing some of the programs broadcast on Sirius XM satellite radio in terms of web traffic. And, of course, this isn't even factoring in those who are tuning in on the terrestrial stations. You know, there are over 20 different ways to listen to the political cesspool. We'll talk about that more later on in the show, too. But you don't even have to go to our website to listen. Our website is just one of many ways you can catch the show. And here we are, sustained by people like Brett, going up against people with six-figure budgets, and we're very proud about that.
seven-figure budgets.
Well, in some cases, I mean, that's absolutely the case. But I think the reason, of course, is we tackle the issues that people want a frank and candid discussion on that they cannot find on any other network but this. We talk about racial realities. We talk about the dangers of overwhelmingly a disproportionate amount of Jewish power and influence, and not just Jewish, but I'm talking about the radical left-leaning, anti-Christian, anti-European-American Zionists that have just ascended into control of all of our major institutions. And it all started about 61 years ago it really came into full force, I guess you could say, 61 years ago next week, and we'll talk about that next week. But
that was the beginning of the end for the American experiment. We've been in a state of decline ever since. In fact, I was just driving down Poplar Avenue in Memphis with an out-of-towner, and they were absolutely astounded at the quality of the architecture for a public school, East High School, which was built, ironically, I think 1951, the year I was born. And we both agreed there will never again be a public high school built in the United States of America that is on a par with the architectural quality of that school. Things like that are all around Memphis. Memphis is an old town, and it shows you that our civilization is in decline. And what has caused it to decline? Liberalism. Liberalism is the modern face of evil, as we say on this show time and again, and we truly believe that. And we also believe that Jewish power and influence is the yeast that makes the dough rise in liberalism. Without Jewish power and influence, the whole thing would have stalled out. It would never have accomplished what it did. And that's just long and short of it, folks. You know, we'll tell you the truth that others try to, hide from or curtail or mealy-mouth about. We'll come right out and tell you.
And we spoke about this last night at dinner. Keith and I had dinner last night to sort of chart the course for tonight's program. And we said, you know, obviously it goes without saying we harbor no hatred towards anyone, even the people who hate us. I don't have hatred in my heart, but I'll tell you, it's very sickening that an objective criticism about the effects in American society of Jewish domination of Hollywood, for instance, or of academia, or of the Supreme Court, and some of these other institutions, if you say that, that might not be in the best interest of Christians and of traditional Americans, then that's labeled hate speech. To take a dissenting point of view, to critique, to criticize objectively these things, you get labeled a hater. Well, certainly whites, people can criticize whites for all sorts of things, real or imagined, and that's just well and good, but if you try to take a critical analysis of the effects of multiculturalism and so-called diversity and all of that other stuff, then you're labeled a hater. Well, listen, that doesn't work for me, and we're not going to be cowed by those things, and certainly we're not. Well, we've got a busy show, and Keith's got a lot to talk about tonight. He's brought in about half of the newspaper. Hey, but we've had a good time on the website this week. Check us out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There I posted an image of my inner eye. If you've never seen the inner eye of James Edwards, you can tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Also, pictures from my wedding 9 years ago on May the 5th. We celebrated our anniversary just this week. We'll be back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so, you know, the political cesspool continues to make a difference all over the world, quite literally. We mentioned that Kevin MacDonald is coming back or recently has returned from Stockholm, Sweden, where he presented a lecture. Well, I had the opportunity to appear on the weekly Antidote Show in Sweden. It's a Swedish-based European radio program. Great guys. Jonas Deger is the lead host. He has two other incredible co-hosts. Jonas has been on this show a couple of times as well, guest appearances on the cesspool. Well, I was on the weekly Antidote, and every time I go on that show, we just get a huge amount of feedback. I believe one time I appeared, it was downloaded after the live broadcast. It was downloaded 23,000 times. It's just an incredible audience that they're giving us access to as we continue to grow our fan base all around the world. Well, I was on the weekly Antidote to talk about the situation in Baltimore for an hour, and we have the clip of that appearance on our website. Well, wrapping up our coverage of Baltimore is Jared Taylor, who talks about the mob rule that has descended in Charm City, and let's go to his clip now. Here's his take, Jared Taylor.
Hello. I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. In Baltimore, we have just witnessed mob rule. It was dressed up as legal procedure, but it was mob rule. The mob rioted, and the mob got what it wanted. It all started on April 12th, when three white policemen arrested a black named Freddie Gray. It was his 19th arrest. Three more officers were then involved in taking him to the police station. Somewhere along the way, his spinal cord was injured. After he got to the station, he was rushed to the hospital, and he died a week later. The six officers were suspended while the Baltimore police investigated. But as we have learned, in Ferguson, Missouri, the Trayvon Martin case, Duke lacrosse team, Eric Garner in New York, blacks can't wait for an investigation. They want vengeance. And so they burned and looted. And they got the kid glove treatment. As the mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, explained, we gave those who wished to destroy space to do that. When the rioters really got frisky, she did call them thugs, but she apologized 2 days later. We don't have thugs in Baltimore, she said. That night, we saw misguided young people. Well, let's see. Here are some misguided young people smashing a police car. Here are more misguided young people looting a 7-Eleven. the misguided lady appears to be exercising black power. And here's what is left of a sneaker store after misguided young people helped themselves. Misguided young people also burned a CVS drugstore. The city had begged the company to put a store in that dangerous neighborhood, but another misguided young person cut the hose that the firemen were using to put out the fire. But this was not wanton destruction. Misguided young people were careful to loot the place before they burned it. The mayor wasn't the only one to say that you shouldn't call these exuberant young people thugs. City Councilman Carl Stokes said the word was an insult. These are children who have been set aside, he said. They're marginalized, who have not been engaged by us. Well, Baltimore is run by blacks. The misguided youth are black. Their parents and teachers are black. So the people who misguided them must be black. But I don't think that's the general view in Baltimore. Demonstrators waved printed signs like the one on the right of the screen, which says, "Racism is the disease, revolution is the cure." And along with that red sign, here's a yellow one that says, "Stop racist police terror." And here's a lady telling us that the way to stop murder by police is to shut down Baltimore and shut down America. And so when the city's misguided young people did shut down Baltimore, the city prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, didn't bother with a grand jury. She surprised everyone by indicting all six of the officers right away. And she spoke directly to the people who were tearing the place apart. "To the youth of the city," she said, "I will seek justice on your behalf. This is a moment. This is your moment." She didn't say a word about seeking justice for 7-Eleven or CVS or for the sneaker store. But she went on, and I quote, "To the people of Baltimore, I heard your call for no justice, no peace. Your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man." Well, she as much as admitted that she indicted the officers because of the rioting. That's sure how blacks saw it. "There's no need to go tear up the city no more," said Renee James, age 48. Abdullah Moni, age 53, agreed. "There would have been no charges filed," he said, "if it wasn't for the riot." The city's mood turned to joy. Violence had been rewarded. Hundreds of people celebrated, breaking the curfew that the mayor had ordered just 4 days earlier. The next day, there was a spontaneous street party of thousands of people. It was a holiday atmosphere with dancing and singing in the streets. The people had been heard. There would be vengeance. Mayor Rawlings Blake caught the new mood. "I'm so inspired and encouraged by what I see," she told CBS affiliate WJZ. That day, people marched through Freddie Gray's old neighborhood chanting, "Whose streets? Our streets." You can't argue with that. They tore up cop cars and looted local businesses, and most of them got away with it. So what about the officers? Between them, they've been charged with second-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, manslaughter by vehicle, second-degree assault, misconduct in office, and false imprisonment. Something bad happened to Freddie Gray in the back of that police van, but no one tried to kill him. He was cuffed and shackled because he was violent. He wasn't belted into his seat, but the belting rule was just a few days old and may not have gotten to those officers. Besides, even a cuffed and shackled man can bite you or spit on you if you bend over him and try to buckle him. Gray was denied medical help, but prisoners claimed to be sick and injured all the time. If police had to call an ambulance every time a prisoner complained, they'd never get to the station. Legal experts think the case against the officers is very weak. George Washington University law professor John Banjoff says a judge should dismiss most or even all the charges. The legal consensus is that there might be a case for civil negligence and just possibly, depending on the evidence, criminal negligence, but it would be hard to get a conviction. Alan Dershowitz of Harvard Law School says the prosecutor, Mosby, is putting on, quote, a show trial. So what we got in Baltimore is the worst possible outcome. Blacks go on the rampage, and police officers are thrown to the dogs just to calm the mob. What better way to tell them that rioting works and to ask for more riots if the verdicts are not guilty? You know what it reminds me of? What primitive tribes do when the gods are angry. Human sacrifice. Thanks for watching.
Well, we spent two of the 3 hours in last week's broadcast breaking down the ins and outs of Baltimore. And tonight we were going to open the show with a little wrap-up, but after I saw Jared's piece, I just figured we'd let Jared be Jared and do the work for us tonight and give us a segment off, and I think he did a good job. And we will, of course, continue with our coverage of Baltimore as the situation continues to unfold in terms of the, you know, undoubted trial and outcome there. So, Keith, a couple of seconds, then we're going to the next story you got here.
Well, to sum it all up, to distill it, there is a black lynch mob forming to execute six police officers, half of whom are black, half of whom are white. Okay, so who's lynching whom, folks?
We'll let you mull that rhetorical question in your minds. When we come back, we're going to get into the news that Keith wants to talk about right after this, and he's got some good stories.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Come one, come all to the Political Cesspool's online chat party, cfcc.org. Okay, Keith Alexander's got a lot of news to cover, and let's put the spotlight squarely on him, and deservingly so. Headline in the Memphis Commercial Appeal this week, Tuesday, May the 5th edition, protests highlight trouble of Ethiopian Jews in Israel. And this is from the Associated Press, and here's what the story reads. When Israel secretly airlifted waves of Ethiopian Jews in the 80s and 90s, saving them from the famine in the Horn of Africa, it was celebrated as a triumphant show of unity for the Jewish people. 30 years after the first large groups of Ethiopians arrived, few are celebrating. Israel's black Jewish minority is plagued by poverty, crime, and unemployment, and their brewing frustrations over racism and lack of opportunity have boiled over into an outburst of violent anti-police protests. My God, does that not sound familiar? Wow.
Talk about the chickens coming home to roost, but let's go forward now.
Caught off guard, Israel's leaders are vowing to respond to the community's grievances. President Rivlin said Monday the outcry exposed an open bleeding wound in the heart of Israeli society. On Sunday, protesters shut down a major highway in Tel Aviv, hurled stones and bottles at police. Are you listening to this, folks? I'm talking about Tel Aviv, not Baltimore, and overturned a squad car. They were dispersed with tear gas, water cannons, and stun grenades. More than 60 people were injured and 40 arrested in the second such protest in recent days. Demonstrations are expected to continue. Ethiopian Jews trace their ancestry to the ancient Israelite tribe of Dan. The community was cut off from the rest of the Jewish world for more than 1,000 years. Under its law of return, Israel grants automatic citizenship to any Jews. In the early 80s, Israel covertly began to bring in thousands of Ethiopian immigrants. The new arrivals struggled greatly as they made the transition from a rural, developing African country into an increasingly high-tech Israel. Over time, many have integrated. About 120,000 Ethiopian Jews live in Israel today, a small minority in a country of 8 million. A 2012 study said that 41% of Ethiopian and Israelis lived below the poverty line, compared with 15% for the overall Jewish population. The average income of Ethiopian Israelis was about two-thirds of their Jewish counterparts. Just 5% had college degrees, compared with 28% of the broader Jewish population. So, Keith, obviously we see parallels between some aspects of American society and what's going on in Israel, but tell me, why did you want to feature that story tonight on the Cesspool?
Well, several reasons, and as you pointed out, the similarities to the situations at Baltimore and in Ferguson and on Staten Island are stunning. You know, it's just incredible. It seems like the black minority, wherever they may be found, even in the midst of the most liberal group of white people or people that pass as white, that you can imagine, Jews, they still have the same old problems. They talk in this article about the difficulty the Ethiopian Jews had transitioning from an agrarian rural society into high-tech Israeli society. Well, guess what? American blacks are still having that problem after being here since 1619. There might be something more to this than the liberal authors of the commercial appeal and the news services from which they draw water are willing to admit. But on the other hand, what did Grandma always say? The more things change, the more they stay the same. And furthermore, you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. The fact that black people are having trouble transitioning or coping in a first world society like Israel, which is populated by the most liberal group of people in the white race imaginable. You know, if that doesn't show you that there may be a problem with black people, not with white people, you know, it's not as if anybody has said that the Israeli white population is somehow, you know, secretly life members in the Ku Klux Klan or something. But you still have the same type of problems. And, you know, it is delicious irony that Jews who basically spearheaded not only the civil rights movement in the United States, but the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, are now getting a dose of their own medicine. It's fortunate for them they have such a small minority of blacks in that country, or else they would have major problems just like we have in the United States, or overwhelming problems like the white minority population of South Africa and Zimbabwe have today.
Well, Keith, you certainly have an eye for news. That would have been something that slipped past me, but it's very interesting and certainly very much brushed under the rug, despite the fact that this was buried in the commercial appeal and despite the fact that it was a legitimate Associated Press offering. Certainly not a lot of news or not a lot of scrutiny is being placed upon this story. And the parallels, though, are very stark, as I've mentioned once before.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's delicious irony. If Jews can't get it right with black-white race relations, pray tell me who can. And obviously nobody can, because there is an insuperable gulf between whites and blacks.
This isn't quite related to what we're talking about, but just, you know, it's unfair for everyone to assume that all of the different races and their different cultures and their different traditions can be forced into the same living space and expected to get along. That's just not going to be the case.
People are not soybeans. They're not interchangeable. We're not fungible, as they say. There are differences between the talents, the proclivities, the tastes, the values of different racial groups. And as a result, diversity is not a strength. As Ann Coulter, the mainstream conservative commentator, said, where in the world has diversity existed where it's been anything other than a major societal problem?
Well, here's a story you're not going to read that was out there, and it occurred just within the last few days. An 82-year-old white woman was raped by a 22-year-old black man. Now, stories like that are so common in America that it doesn't even really get under our skin anymore. We cover it so much. I mean, obviously, that's terrible. That's horrific. That's unimaginable. I mean, there's any number of adjectives.
And where is the story about the 22-year-old white man raping an 82-year-old black woman?
Could you imagine if it had been reversed, how much media attention it would have gotten? But no, you know, the Bleeding Hearts are more concerned with the thugs in Baltimore being called thugs than this 82-year-old woman being raped by this 22. And listen, their stories, if we wanted to cover these types of stories, we'd fill all 3 hours every week and talk nothing more, talk about nothing more than this kind of mouthpiece.
We could fill 3 hours every night, 7 days a week, 12 months a year.
You know, how, you know, what sexual attraction one could find in an 82-year-old woman when you're 22 years old, I don't know. But again, I don't think there's a lot of critical thinking going on there. But it just goes to show.
It's nothing but sheer hatred. That's the only thing that could be motivating that particular rape. Hatred of this woman. Why? There's no other reason that is possible other than her race. White people need to realize the animus that non-white people bear towards them. That's why having a sense of racial solidarity is even more important for white people than it is for every other group. But ironically, every other group is not only allowed but encouraged to have a strong sense of racial identity and solidarity. Only white people are called racist when they utter any expression of racial solidarity or identity.
We only have a few minutes left in this segment, and then we have some more stories from Keith like this that we're going to be covering during the second hour before we transition to Winston Smith. Then later we'll hear from Nathaniel Kapner before a live interview with Kevin McDonald commences. But only a minute or two left this segment, Keith, before we bring Scoop on for his nightly contribution. Tell us a little bit more about what we're going to be talking about when we get back to your buffet.
Well, I always like to do the Behind Enemy Lines segment, focusing on Memphis and Memphis News and the Memphis newspaper and the Memphis news media generally, because Memphis is like a canary in the coal mine. I had a young man who lived in Memphis who has been out in Arizona recently and said, it's just incredible to come back to Memphis and bring all of these things in focus, the racial conflict that basically is going to become a larger and larger part of American life as America browns increasingly, which are what all the demographic projections say. Whites are going to be a minority in the United States. In other words, less than 50% probably in less than 15 years. And that means there's a lot of browning up to do, because in places like Arizona, places like Idaho, places like Massachusetts, Maine, they don't have very many folks. And as a result, they are, I don't know a softer way to put this, stupid on the issue of race relations. We here in Memphis are the canaries in the coal mine. We can tell you what the future holds in store for you. As the Chinese curse says, may you live in interesting times. I'm sure that our children and grandchildren will indeed live in interesting times, James.
We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program.
Backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
And the show goes on. We'll see what Scoop Stanton has in store for us tonight, right now. I think. Scoop, are you with us?
Good evening, James. Good evening, Keith. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Okay, first off, I'd like to dedicate tonight's show to police officer Brian Moore. Yesterday was his funeral, and any law enforcement, sworn law enforcement officer that's still a registered Democrat, think about this. Your boy Obama sent 3 officials from the White House to Freddie Gray's funeral, who's been arrested numerous times, and 0 representatives to Officer Moore's funeral. So way to go, Democrats.
Well, I'd like to chime in right there, Scoop. First of all, just to say, very classy gesture to dedicate your segment, or dedicate this show, rather, to the slain police officer Moore in New York, and to point out that Obama sent not one administration official to his funeral while sending three to Freddie Gray, and that certainly was not the first time Obama had done such a stunt, sending, of course, numerous administration officials, including Attorney General Eric Holder himself, to the Michael Brown funerals and other such protests. So it just goes to show. You make a good point there, Scoop. Please continue.
Okay, switching gears real quick. I want to talk about one of our so-called colleagues on the radio airwaves. As you know, last Wednesday I went to Baltimore with my newborn son to see the damage done by the plague of diversity in Baltimore. It was so eye-opening that I wanted to get out there as soon as possible. So I decided to call the SiriusXM so-called conservative host named Andrew Wilkow. That's pronounced Wilkow. I know I listen to Mr. Wilkow from time to time on Sirius, but unfortunately Sirius decided to get rid of channel 143, and so I could no longer listen to Alex Jones on satellite radio. So I called his toll-free number and said I was Pete from Baltimore, and I wanted to tell Andrew what I saw in Baltimore, and the screener put me through. And then Mr. Wilkow introduced me. He said, Pete from Baltimore. I said, hey, how you doing? I'm calling from Baltimore. I want to talk about what I saw in Baltimore. By the way, just to let you know, I'm on a radio show. The reason I did that to, you know, let Mr. Wilkow and the audience know is that, hey, I'm not just one of these nut jobs with the blog and a phone saying, you know, I'm with the media. You know, I'm with a legitimate radio show. So then he was asking, are you a competitor? Are you on this channel or what? I said, no, I'm on a show Saturday night on Liberty News Radio called The Political Cesspool. So then just about as I was introducing the National Guard in downtown, he said, hold on, my producer says you're a white supremacist radio show. I said, we are not a white supremacist radio show. So instead of either letting me go about Baltimore or having me defend how I am or am not part of a so-called white supremacist radio show, he just simply hung up the phone. Well, Mr. Wilkow, instead of running and pleading that I'm not a racist or a white supremacist like a Tea Party member or any Republican candidate, I'm going to let our record at the political cesspool speak for ourselves. At CPAC this past February, I asked your Patriot Channel colleague David Webb on as a guest. Mr. Webb is a black man. Now, I didn't want Mr. Webb on just because he's a black conservative, because unlike you, he is a man. Some of the political some of our past guests includes the Reverend James David Manning, radio host B.J. Ellis, and even the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. Co-host Eddie Miller, who's a registered nurse, treats black patients free of charge and runs marathons for all children at St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The staff of the show called for the immediate release of Border Patrol agents Ramos and Campion. And then yours truly complained Jimi Hendrix is never recognized in Black History Month for his musical achievements. And then we spent over an hour talking about the slaughter of Officer Lou and Ramos on December 20th, 2014. Now, what really makes me mad with Wilkow, it was his absolute silence when his colleague on SiriusXM, Anthony Kumi, was fired for making tweets that now were politically correct. Way to fight for free speech, you bootlicking company hack. Anyways, you might be next for something you may or may not say, or even your guests may or may not say. What also ticks me off is that Mr. Wilkow, like many other so-called conservatives, say that they're friends of the police. Now, yesterday was Officer Moore's funeral, and he just made one simple blurb to a caller insulting Obama. Never made mention about the death of Officer Moore, the funeral of Officer Moore, or how if he went or somebody from the show went to Officer Moore's funeral. He also said absolutely nothing about the two officers that were slaughtered in December. Now, also, Mr. Wilkow refuses to talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Everything bad that happens is because of liberals or Democrats. Ferguson burns, Democrats. Baltimore burns, Democrats. Detroit in ruins, Democrats. Philadelphia, Newark, Cleveland, St. Louis, Democrats, Democrats, Democrats. Meanwhile, Seattle, Portland, Austin, and now Washington, D.C. are doing very well. Meanwhile, Mr. Wilkow, I don't hear that you live in Newark, Patterson, or some other town blessed by diversity. Now, as for his show, he's been on for I don't know how long, and nobody still has heard of him. He was on Glenn Beck's Blaze Network that nobody knows about because major cable providers such as Fios doesn't carry it. Meanwhile, comedians that appeared on the Opening Anthony show, such as Louis C.K., made it huge. So, anyways, Mr. Wilcox never does a remote broadcast unless it's in the confined safety of Radio Row, such as the RNC or DNC. And then, meanwhile, a small radio outfit from Memphis is wiping the floor with him in terms of website traffic. So hopefully, do what you do, Mr. Wilcox, and hopefully you'll be in the same boat as Anthony Cumia, but without a blog. Back to you in the studio.
Well, thank you, Scoop. You know, for those who were tuned in last week, we talked about this very incident. In the third hour of last week's broadcast, we made mention of the fact that Scoop called in. You know, Scoop went in to Baltimore last Friday, a week ago yesterday, to do a little reconnaissance and get an eyewitness accounting of what's going on there for last week's show. Well, he was so excited about having gone in there and done the legwork, you know, some real journalism, some real investigative reporting, that he called in the Wilcox show because he happened to be listening to it at the time as he was making his escape from Baltimore. And, well, you know what happened. We talked about it last week. And, you know, it's annoying on one front that, you know, this is a so-called conservative. Well, I mean, throwing legitimate conservatives under the bus, you know, for, I guess, fear of being called a name. Well, anybody that's scared of being called a name is not going to be somebody you can depend on when the shooting starts. Let me just tell you that much. But we also found it to be very exciting because here's this guy, and to be sure, he must have at least a six-figure operating budget, whereas we don't even come close to that, not even close to that in a year. And our website, you know, gets vastly more traffic than he does. And that's not the only standard of measurement for audience size, but it is a verifiable one. And we have more traffic. That's just all there is to it. So, but you bring up a good point, Scoop, in that, you know, these neocon Republican hacks, they blame everything that's wrong on the Democrats. And you're right. He's missing the 800-pound elephant in the room. Baltimore is a problem with Democrats. Ferguson, there's a problem with Democrats. Well, to be sure, liberalism certainly does none of us any favors, and it is a problem. But you also mentioned that the very liberal cities of Austin, Texas, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, majority white cities, also Democratic, but you're not seeing this kind of stuff that you see in the diverse locales. So that is a very interesting parallel that I think should be committed to memory and repeated. But back to you, Scoop.
Yeah, and another thing about Mr. Wilcox, who's, you know, so-called conservative principles, yesterday, at a guest at the end of the show, he had somebody from the Left the Center channel, who's also a sodomite, promote a book. So here he is, you know, so-called family man, having a gay guy from the leftist pinko commie America hating channel on the same network promote his book. Meanwhile, you know, yours truly, who was there and done that, and, you know, is a listener, I'm not a fan of him, we get the short end of the stick. And it's not just me, but anybody that brings anything close to the race, he should pull the plug, because he doesn't want to end up like Cumia. But, you know, SiriusXM has a terrible reputation of treating their talent like garbage. And then, you know, look how long he's been on, and he's still a blip on the radar. He's on Fox once in a while, but his colleague David Webb, who's on 9 o'clock Eastern time, you know, he's on all the time. I don't know, just because of skin tone, but, you know, meeting him up front personal, he is a man, and he doesn't take you know what from anybody.
Well, you know, the thing with people like Wilcox, I believe he was some sort of a flunky of Mark Levine, and one of his lackeys or acolytes, or had worked with them before getting his own chance to do a radio show. So if he keeps asking if he's the guy from the Jerry Springer show, now that's Steve Wilcox. This is Andrew Wilcox. Although I was confused about that originally, but they all do belong together, truly. But yeah, you know, this guy may very well share the same ethnicity as Levine and Springer, for all we know. And if that's the case, you know, a Jewish neoconservative like, Billy Crystal, for instance, not the actor, but the Politico, you know, those kinds of conservative is a very fluid word. It can mean anything from legitimate conservatives like us here on this radio program, all the way to people like Bill Kristol and his ilk, who also hijack and take for themselves the word conservative. So you really don't know what you're getting when somebody refers to themselves as a conservative anymore. And certainly Andrew Wilkow made that all the more evident with his denunciation of Scoop Stanton for calling in, immediately recognizing him as a part of the cesspool hosting team. So, Scoop, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. For the rest of you, hours 2 and 3 coming up. Keith's got a lot coming for you. Stay tuned.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.